The University of Detroit Mercy presents a special summertime edition of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded before a live audience at Book Suey in Hamtramck, Michigan.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's Professor Dan Maggio.
Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
Good. Very good.
Thanks for the Lego model of the Great Wall of China.
You're welcome. Which child got it?
Whatever one was home at that point. And by the way, was that a point of contention?
Well, I'm sorry that I only had one to give.
It's okay. But Enzo was home, and he had it completely together by the time his brothers got home. And they're like, where's ours?
How many miles of the Great Wall of China do you have in Legos?
Just about 12 inches.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's a scale, so maybe a quarter mile.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Did any Lego people die making that wall?
No.
The little Legos?
If they were, they're buried inside. Yes.
That's what I was exactly. wondering.
Yeah. They were ground up and melted.
Aww.
Or it turned into terracotta.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Leave it up to my ancestors. Dan is the master of all things Lego, usually when it has to do with robotics, but sometimes when it has to do with models. So
I was fortunate enough to get that. It's not a normal part of my job, but I happened to come across it. And I have enough models at home that are just collecting dust. I enjoy building them. And then afterward, I just want to probably just get rid of them. Except I did keep my R2-D2.
Of course.
That one's...
Of course you would.
That one's...
Yes.
That's a keeper.
It's a classic.
Yes.
Yep. Just like I
You
have
got a crazy glue
house.
Them together, like in the movie.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I will dip it in melted crazy glue, if that's the way that I have to get it glued together, but I won't brick by brick glue it together.
The craggle, as they say in the movie, right? Yes, the crazy glue. Continuing around the table, Professor Mara Livesey is here with us today.
Hello.
How are you doing, Mara?
Just fabulous. A little bit sweaty, though.
A little bit sweaty. Mom's spaghetti. Yeah, we actually got summer here in Detroit. It came at the end of June. We're sort of happy, sort of sad.
Mostly sad for me.
I know. You and I share a proclivity for fall weather, and the truth is it was a very rainy spring, which I didn't like, but it was a cool spring, which I did like.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
It's just ended a few weeks ago. And I was going to ask pro forma how things were in the lab, but I'm afraid the way you're going to answer that question.
Oh, sadness in the lab today when a very small piece of glass about 1 inch by 2 inches falls on the floor and I lose $400.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Yes. A very small piece of glass.
A slide?
It's a hemocytometer is what it's called.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's
that's all right. My student is still alive. And that's what matters.
That is what matters.
For now.
They will likely regain use of their eyes and muscles later in the week.
Potentially.
Oh, they're the ones that dropped it?
They are.
Oh.
Oh.
Well,
yeah.
That's too bad.
That's all right.
Okay.
They'll work it off.
I'm sure they'll find another job.
No. They got a slight talking to, but no more than that.
Just a little one, though. You had just told them to be careful.
I had just told them, yes.
That sounds like all of my parenting in one sentence. I had just told you to be careful.
Yes.
It wasn't an electron microscope they dropped on the floor.
True. That is very true. Not tens of thousands
of dollars. Or even an optical microscope.
Or even that.
Continuing around the table, Professor Jason Roach is here. I know the word parent definitely applies to him. I think you were on the phone with one of your children a moment ago.
I was, driving home and telling him I won't be there to tuck him in tonight, but I'll see him in the morning.
Perfect, perfect.
But summer has been a lot of slip and slide action for me this year in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And I've learned a new parenting tip. You can never give your kids those little squirty things and tell them not to shoot it at people. Hashtag not going to work.
Of course not. Why have it?
Yeah, I just told you not to do that. I don't know what else to say about this. Are these the giant syringe-like
squirt
guns?
Yes, they work really well.
Very cool, very cool. But everybody at the Roach home is having a very fun summer?
Oh, man, it's a blast.
The Roach House.
The Roach Motel.
The Roach Motel.
When you said slip and slide, I thought it was 1984 for a second.
It's almost like that. Yeah. It's really got that vibe to it. I'm thinking I'm enjoying a summer vacation from my past, only with the added responsibility of babysitting and making lunch and changing diapers.
Ooh. Other than that,
yeah,
everything's fine.
Definitely.
How's summer going for Professor Dave Chow?
Warm. Yeah, that second lot is not a lot of fun to mow, that's all.
That is true. Oh. Every time I see the grass in your second lot start getting a little high, I'm like, uh-oh. Gotta make you sweat.
When will Berkeley let me have a herd of goats?
When? Well, someone needs to get on that when we go to the planning commission, you know? Seriously.
If you get sheep, they'll chew it right
down. No,
no, no.
I want
dirt.
Goats because I also want chops in the couple of weeks. That's all.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Hmm. I'm going to put it out there and say it takes you a minimum of 60 minutes to mow just that lot.
If I'm strung out on lots of caffeine, maybe.
Wow.
Longer.
Longer.
Wow.
You need a bigger mower.
Wow.
Why don't you just hire one of the neighborhood kids?
Where's a neighborhood kid with a mower anymore?
I don't know. I need to send one of my kids over there.
They're playing video game mowing.
Exactly.
If there's a video game with mowing, yes. They can play virtual on their phone.
Mowing. Yeah, virtual mowing doesn't cut my grass, okay?
No kidding.
Way more fun than actual mowing. And less sweating, too.
Yes. I don't know about that.
Let's see. And all the way back around the table, the purple one himself, Professor Jim Tubbs, is here with us today.
Hello.
How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing all right.
Enjoying the summer. You said you were a little warm, but everybody else has said that, too. So.
Heck, I was raised in North Carolina. This is not bad at all.
This is not bad at all.
In fact, it's in the 90s there now.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
With full
and 90% humidity.
Yes, exactly.
Are you counting down the days?
Counting out the days to what?
To your retirement.
Oh, no.
No?
No, 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 no.
Are you not?
Plus ça change, plus ça même chose, you know.
We're glad to have you here, Jim, as long as you can be here.
All right.
You're always welcome. We're probably going to have some other panelists join us mid-show, but we're going to mention that we are broadcasting live for this moment in time from Book Suey in Hamtramck, Michigan. Today's trivia starts with the fairly obvious to most Detroiters piece of trivia that there are two cities completely enclosed within the boundaries of the city of Detroit. Yep. One is Hamtramck and the other is Dan Maggio.
Oh, Highland Park.
Highland Park. Excellent.
Which that happen to touch each other for just a couple of blocks, which is why they cannot be annexed by the city of Detroit.
That's right.
Is that why?
Because they're not totally surrounded by Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Under state law,
no,
they cannot be annexed.
Just an interesting
they
tidbit.
Touch some other city
I wonder
or
if
town.
That was intentional.
Probably.
Well,
when the Model T Ford plant was in Highland Park, it had its own wealth. And Hamtramck had its own cultural identity. So,
wasn't at one time wasn't that the richest suburb in the country?
Probably
in the 40s or 50s.
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
wow. Sounds about right.
Yep,
I would say the 20s.
The 20s. All right, maybe my decades off, but I had heard that. And if you drive down some of the streets, you can see some of the homes that used to be lying. Those streets are beautiful.
Yeah.
We're very happy to be hosted by Matt Lewis and the group that puts Book Suey together here in Hamtramck. You'll hear a few camera clicks in the background because our university photographer Dave Frechette is here. And why not bring up that Jeff and Carrie are here, super fans of the show.
Dedicated.
To watch us. Woo-hoo. Very dedicated.
What are they thinking?
And, you know, we're here to have fun. Check out some books at Book Suey in Hamtramck, open on Wednesdays and on Saturdays. And we're going to just dive into what we usually do, you folks. You know, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize, too. Send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Or probably the way you heard about this show is you found us on Facebook. Are we ready?
Yes. No, but that's
one,
never
two,
stopped
three,
us before.
Ready as we'll get.
Yeah.
I have a question set titled Symbols of the Digital World, submitted by a Nani Mouse. For this set of questions, a concept or action from the digital world will be supplied, and the panel will have to describe the most common icon to be able to do that action, i.e., what image would you look for to press or click to perform that action? The first one will be done for you.
Okay.
To make a phone call, you're going to touch the...
telephone.
The little receiver.
Headset. Yeah, the headset.
The headset icon, right? So that's what we're going to do here. Let's see if we can...
Oh, great. We're doing a visual show.
Perfect for radio.
Spin the wheel.
Kind of interesting. 17 questions. Prime number, right, Dan?
Yeah, it is a prime number.
Right, so I didn't mean for it to work
Pictionary for radio now.
But let's see what we can do with these. In general, what kind of a image would you click on to send a text?
Like a green
arrow? It's a little, like it's a little screen.
With a little,
the whips at the end?
I can tell that this is going to be a lot of fun.
Can we
it's
look
a
at our
sort of
phones?
Rectangular screen.
I believe that most of what you have here is correct. This one says the answer sometimes is an envelope
send
a text.
Okay,
so.
Where's that email as well?
Must not be an iPhone
email. Yeah, it could be email. Yeah. Could be email, right? How would you describe the icon that gives you the specific location on a map?
A pin.
A lot like an inverted teardrop.
It's an inverted teardrop. I believe it actually is called a wayfinder, if you want to be more specific.
Very cool.
Did not know
but it does have a pointer. How would you describe the icon for Wi-Fi?
It's a
three lines on top of each other. I'm drawing it in the air.
Mara just drew it midair. It was exactly correct. You're just gonna have to take my word for it. Oh my gosh.
For the listeners, that was for you.
What is the symbol for signal strength?
Bars?
Oh, bars.
Oh yeah, ascending bars.
Ascending
like
bars.
Step.
Or like a bar graph.
Or descending, yeah.
You know, the people who do a lot of this kind of work when they're doing programming often refer to the menu that you want to get to as a hamburger. Why do they do that?
It's the three bars?
It's the three bars stacked on top of each other, right? Like a little bun and some meat in between. They call it the hamburger, yes. What are you going to click on if you want to go back?
Oh, arrow.
Back arrow.
A little arrow.
Arrow
to the left.
It's a little curved arrow, right?
Oh, back to the left.
It is to the left, almost exclusively. What's the deal with the left?
Left is bad.
Come on. Left is sinister,
good
it's kind
question.
Of funny. How do you...
if you're in a book, you're always going back.
That is true.
In Western
or
culture.
A timeline.
Very good point.
Right is forward.
In Western
left
culture,
is back.
Right?
Yes.
Right in English. Yes. In English.
That is true.
That's true. That's true in Arabic. It's the other way.
And Hebrew.
What icon for downloading something?
An arrow down.
Arrow down.
Mm-hmm. Arrow
with
going
with
down.
With a line at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How about settings?
A
gear. That's gear.
Gear. Yeah. Sometimes it's a tool.
Box.
A tool. Like a wrench.
A wrench.
Oh, yeah.
Wrench.
Usually it looks like the little rotary symbol.
Yeah.
Exactly. A ninja star.
How about?
That's right.
How about, because this definitely fits into the category of the telephone handset, you know, the analog handset. From back in the day, to save something.
A floppy disk.
Oh, it's a three and a, it's a little disk.
Three and a half inch floppy, yes.
The top right exactly corner.
Who even knows off what those things...
I still have one attached to my office computer.
Oh, dear Lord.
Because I have a lot of files still on...
I bet you do.
Floppy disks.
I bet you do. What if you want to drop an emoji in a text? What kind of symbol are you looking
for?
A
little smiley face?
Smiley face, yes, absolutely.
Or if you happen to have an iPhone, you can also do the... The animated one?
Oh, yeah, that's right. What are they called? Stickers?
GIFs, animojis?
Right?
Animojis.
Oh, animojis. Okay. Animojis, sure. What about, at least according to this question set, if you want to send an email, what's the symbol? Instead of an envelope, it would be something different. What's a good symbol for email?
It's like an arrow. It could be an arrow. Or
could be an arrow.
Some have, it's like a card with, it's got like a wisps at the end, like it's moving.
Yeah, something like that. Here it says it's the at symbol, which is a universal symbol.
Well, that wasn't even close.
Oh, okay, sure.
Is that from AOL?
It could be AOL. Yeah, I think
it's
AOL.
From America. How about if you want to edit something, what symbol should you look for?
Cursing and screaming.
Yes. Oh, said the artist.
Yes, exactly.
Editing.
Yes.
Edit. Is it just highlighted?
Like a pencil?
It's a pencil, yeah. In a lot of cases, it's a little pencil.
Okay.
Yeah,
at a downward angle.
Do something. When you want to get back to your main screen.
Home.
So the symbol would be
house.
A little house. Yeah. Yes.
A little birdhouse.
So my son comes up to me the other night. Remember, he's seven. He's surfing YouTube, watching... Ryan's World for the 50,000th time. And he goes, Dad, I can't get back to the letter Q. What do you think he was trying to find? I can't get back to the letter Q. That allows you to find other videos.
The search feature?
Search screen?
The little magnifying glass?
The magnifying glass is what he was looking for. Yes, he goes, the letter Q
That's
is
amazing.
How you search for other videos. I'm
That's
like,
awesome.
What could is, be a question.
What is Ryan's Cute. World? Is that a soap opera?
That is the most lucrative channel on YouTube, and it is a little boy who opens toys and shows them off and tells you what to buy. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's what it is.
Why did I not think of this?
Tens of millions of dollars in revenue last year.
Oh, the American way, market something you don't need to little kids.
Yes. Wow. Kidneys. Oh my. What if you want to change the language on your phone? What would you be looking for? What would be a good symbol?
Wow. A word balloon? No?
That's not what it says here.
Well, let's see.
Is it a letter of the alphabet?
No, it's not. It's a symbol.
Change the language.
It's like a
translation
book?
Thing? Some arrow turning into another
thing?
Is it a thing?
No.
A
no,
book?
Never mind.
You know what it says, at least on the question sheet? It has a little globe. A little globe is like change the language.
Okay,
yes.
Sure.
So there you go.
I had no idea that's what that was for.
I think you guys did pretty good. It's difficult to talk about symbology. Mara was drawing out the Wi-Fi and everything, you know. So let's move on to another set of questions.
Sure.
Oh, my. Here we go. Dear Matt and panelists, I've enlisted the help of my family to come up with the following questions for your show this time around. I tasked each to come up with a handful and then curated them to see which ones we thought would or could spark discussion and or laughter. Please enjoy the following questions. We had a blast coming up with them and debating whether some were worthy. Oh, my. They're all worthy.
Worthy?
Warmest wishes from Valencia, California. Oh. Frank Burrows. Longtime question
Frank's
submitter.
Frank's family now.
Yes, Frank's family.
Family helping?
Some questions.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
These are pretty much all over the
map. So have we quadrupled our listener base?
In Valencia.
In Valencia. Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute. Can we call on our families? I mean...
I'm picturing some living room. It's like, are we done yet, Dad?
Like a big war room with...
Please.
What famous actress was born Julia Elizabeth Wells?
Julie Andrews?
It is Julie Andrews. Yeah,
wow.
Very nice.
Wait.
Dan knows
that was because
stuff.
I saw a Mary Poppins book earlier on the shelf over there.
Oh, jogged your memory. Huh?
She was on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let's see, what was the name of the person who developed the world's first vaccine?
Pasteur?
Last name is acceptable. Wasn't Pasteur.
Where's Stephanie when we need her?
Yeah, Stephanie would know this. The immunologist would know this.
She's on vacation, though.
That's not when Samuel Boylston was.
Phone a friend?
No.
Yes, can we phone a friend?
Oh, we can phone a friend, absolutely.
Jenner.
It wasn't Salk, actually. It was
Jenner.
Edward Jenner.
That's where we got the word vaccine from vaca, meaning
from
cow.
From cows, yes, exactly. That's right. But Salk, Pasteur, this is all a big soup in the world of science. Let me tell you, we're all working together. What is the most mountainous country in Europe by surface area?
Switzerland.
It's Switzerland. Jim's been studying the questions.
No, I've had to fly over.
Mostly, I mean, exclusively the Alps, yes? Or is there any other range that goes through the country?
No, it's the Alps.
So we can tie that in.
Most of Switzerland.
Yeah.
We could tie that into the Julie Andrews thing. Didn't she climb over the Alps and Sound of Music?
Well, yeah, unless you look at a map. Salzburg is not real close to the Alps.
I think that was thrown into the movie, but that was not part of the book.
Right. Okay. Oh, they actually left on a train.
Oh.
In real life.
Climb every platform.
Right.
Board every
Surge
train.
Every coach.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. We should put
always,
on an album out.
We always get there with Sound of Music. We just always get there. I don't know what it is.
It's my favorite movie. Stop ruining it.
Too late. Done for.
What was Bob Dylan's first top 10 hit on the Billboard charts?
Blowing in the Wind?
No.
Like a Rolling Stone?
Like a Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone. Okay.
Yes. Nobel laureate Bob Dylan.
Oh, yes. You mean that he actually sang?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. That's a good point, though, because he wrote many songs.
He should have stuck to writing.
Yeah. We're getting this thing.
He was a great writer.
Was.
Have you seen it lately? Like all the songs that were made very, very popular by another artist but originally written by Prince, we found all these recordings of Prince performing them, and they're going to like get into rotation now. It's kind of exciting.
Well, I remember going to see the Broadway play about Carole King, you know, Beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The whole first half is songs she wrote for other groups, and I had no idea she had written some of that stuff.
Some of these people
she's
are very prolific.
For a long time before she did Tapestry.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see if we can do this. This is the challenge. Without saying any of the names that I'm going to ask for, stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
How many U.S. states' names end in the letter N?
Michigan?
Well, you're not supposed to say it. You're not supposed to say it. You're not supposed to say how many.
Let's see if we can get the number.
Four?
It's not four.
Mm-hmm. We have to kind of, how does this fill time in radio? Should I hum something?
Well, yeah. And then there's This is a great question. I love. It's not three. It's not four.
I got three so far.
Yeah, I got three.
This is a tough question.
More fingers and toes? What's going on over there?
This is a really tough question. I like this one. You know, the answer is five. You guys are within the error bars.
Okay. Hold on. I'm still going through the...
Okay. I was going through all the state names in my head.
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Michigan.
Washington. Oregon.
Oregon.
Okay. Oregon. Washington.
Michigan.
Michigan.
Oregon. Oh, no, that's me.
Oh, my gosh. It is actually four. I'm sorry. Yeah. This is brutal. They made it question number five.
So
Jim got it right.
Here all day trying to find
all is forgiven. All is forgiven.
Californian,
Iowan, of course. Washington, Michigan, Oregon, Wisconsin. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Sorry, Jim. Oh my gosh, that was brutal. That was brutal. How many states' names end in the letter N? Question number five. That's a little tricky. I'm going to try that on my students in the fall. Oh my gosh.
No, don't. Yeah. You'll be disappointed.
Yeah. Hey.
Isn't the official name of Rhode Island the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantation?
And Providence Plantation. Oh, wow. That's right. That's absolutely
this
correct.
This is right in our room on the envelope.
Right? I'm giving you a partial credit because we love to give that out around here.
Can we have Matt be our guest panelist since he's hosting as well?
That's awesome. Yeah,
Matt, come on in, man.
Sure.
Introduce Matt Lewis yourself, is though. Here from Booksui.
Hello.
Tell us what goes on here, Matt.
Booksui is a cooperatively owned and operated bookstore in Hamtramck, Michigan. And we sell new and used books and have free coffee, and we're open Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can come in. You don't need to buy anything. You can just hang out.
Cool.
But you could also buy something.
You got some pretty cool books about the city in here. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So welcome to the show.
Let's see how well you do with this question.
Yeah.
Which of Disney's seven dwarfs did not sport a beard?
Dopey.
Dopey definitely did. See, the guy that knows his cartoons knew Dopey right off the top of his head.
I was going to say Snow White.
I don't know. She had that 5 o'clock shadow for sleeping so long. That's also.
Oh my gosh. This famous comedian graduated from University Liggett High School in Detroit, attended U of M.
Wow.
Won an Emmy in 1977 and a Grammy, sadly posthumously, in 1990.
Gilda Radner.
Gilda Radner is who we're talking about. Yes, absolutely.
So what was the album?
Detroit's Own. Yeah, what was the album? Yeah. That's a good question.
Gilda Sings the Blues.
Yeah, was it I don't know.
Probably a comedy album. Yeah.
Comedy album, yeah. That's kind of nice that she was able to win a Grammy. I'm not sure what a Grammy's worth these days, but,
it's all downloaded.
Who played Martha Stewart in the two TV films that were made based on
Snoop
her life?
Dogg.
That was not Snoop
Ernest
Dogg.
Borgnine.
That was a later collaboration.
I mean, they are close friends, right?
They are close friends. That they are. Who the played Martha Stewart in two TV films, though? It's an obvious choice.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
No,
looks
no.
Like.
Doesn't Meryl Streep play everybody?
Yeah, Meryl Streep is going to be my partial creditor.
Jacqueline Smith.
No, you know, it's Cybill Shepherd. Oh, you would have gotten there sooner or later, but Cybill Shepherd, yeah. Okay. So.
Moonlighting.
That would have been my clue.
That was a great show.
Yeah,
love that
wonderful
show.
Show.
Very clever.
On which river is the Grand Coulee Dam?
Columbia.
The Columbia. River. You guys know this stuff. We need to keep you on the show.
No doubt.
Matt. This is awesome. Very, very cool. During Final Jeopardy, what's the name of the iconic music that's played while the contestants are writing down their responses?
The Jeopardy theme song.
It's partial credit.
Griffin, I'm sure.
The next question was who wrote it. Okay. I think it's figured that out. It's good old Merv. But he actually named the song. One word, and you do it a lot on Jeopardy.
Thinking?
Think is what it's called.
Think.
Yes,
right.
Think.
Oh.
Be tortured.
Yes. Even though it clearly is I'm a Little Teapot in a slightly different way.
Exactly.
Come on.
Variations on a theme, I'm a Little Teapot.
It kind of is. Yeah.
I personally cannot imagine Jeopardy without Alex Trebek, but I did grow up with Bob Barker, and Price is Right made a transition, so anything is possible.
Okay, now, we did have a horrible discussion a while back. Who would replace Alex one of these days when he does hang it up?
I have a vote, but I get voted down every time I bring it up.
Okay, who's your pick?
Well, it would be the only other person technically who's hosted Jeopardy in the modern era,
on
Jeff
Saturday.
Probst.
No. Who on Saturday Night Live plays him?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. That's
Will Ferrell. Oh my gosh, okay.
That would be
incredible.
Sweet.
A little kind of spicy.
Hey, we're being joined by Professor Prasad Venugopal.
Hello.
Some of us are curious how your day was.
He's here. He's here.
If my day,
I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute. If my day includes me, it's a good day.
Okay.
All right.
It's good to see you.
We're glad to have you here, Prasad. We were just talking about Jeopardy. Who would you like to see replace Alex Trebek?
Well, don't rush it.
I said Jeff Probst. Everybody gave me a death stare.
No, I didn't give you a death stare.
Jeff Probst from Survivor?
Jeff Probst is the only other person who's hosted Jeopardy when Alex was on vacation.
Okay, now here's my call. Ken Jennings.
Oh, Ken Jennings would be a great host.
That would
host.
Be good.
That would at least get him out of the competitor's seat,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He knows all the answers anyway.
He does.
Or at least exactly. He thinks
yeah.
He does.
Or that James Holzhauer guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Ken Jennings. Actually, they should hire the person who defeated him. That would be really ironic.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That would be very cool.
You know, I wanted to, what's his name? Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady would be good.
Brady.
Yep.
Wayne Brady.
Whose line is it anyway on Jeopardy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
What is the full name of the butler from the TV show The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Good question.
Yeah.
This is
Jeffrey.
Wonderful. His name is Jeffrey, but what's his last name?
Full name?
Don't think too hard.
Smith?
Butler. Jones. Jeffrey Butler.
Jeffrey Butler.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's right on top of it. Right on top of it. I love it.
Middle name, V.
We were trying to keep it simple.
Sure, for Thelonious, right?
Yeah.
What is the metric unit of measurement for radioactivity?
The rad?
The Curie?
Rad is usually used, but the Curie is the metric, I think. Yeah. Named after Madame Marie Curie.
Because she was a Frenchie.
Who died?
Well, she went to school.
I thought it was Marie.
It is. Madame Marie.
He said Mary.
Oh, well, it's... in Polish, it would have been translated to Mary. And
we are in Hamtramck, so...
Yeah, we want to keep everything right. Slovatska. That's what I like to say. What U.S. city is the headquarters to Spirit, as in the airlines, and DHL, the delivery company? This is a good question. It's not Houston.
Somewhere in the Midwest?
Tampa, Florida.
No, it's not in the Midwest.
Spirit. Tampa, Florida.
Spirit? Spirit? It's in Florida, but it's not Tampa.
Orlando.
Oh, Jackson.
I haven't heard it yet.
I'll tell your story.
Two words.
Orlando.
St. Augustine?
Spectator. What do you think, Carrie? Nope, not Kansas.
Two words.
I don't think I've heard it yet.
Boca Raton?
Sounds like.
Miami-Dade.
St. Petersburg?
Panama City.
Key West?
They're literally naming every city in the state. I mean, if I landed little pushpins or wayfinders at every single one of those cities, you probably would circle Fort Lauderdale, which is where it is. So. The time has come for us to say goodbye, so we'll say goodbye to the panel, Professor Venugopal.
Goodbye, and thanks to Buxui for hosting us.
Absolutely. Professor Tubbs.
Farewell, and thanks.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Roach.
Chow.
That too.
Professor Livesey.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Thank you. And now, thank you, absolutely, to Buxui. And now these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu, tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed here at Buxui in Hamtramck, Michigan, but we're still connected to the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed today by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.